first. Sound familiar? That's the sound of city traffic from the inside of a car, roughly 80 to 85 decibels. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that city noises while in a car are loud enough to annoy you, possibly damage hearing after hours of exposure. Being too close to sirens on the road? The CDC says standing beside or near 120 decibel sirens is enough to cause pain and permanent ear injury. And that's all in the short run. In the long run, chronic noise exposure can be risky for our health in a variety of ways, not just hearing, but our heart, our cardiovascular system in general. You could join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you live or work in a noisy environment? Do you live in a busy city street, say? Tell us about your experience, and what would you like to know about the impact of exposure to loud noises? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Charlie Roscoe is a postdoctoral fellow researching environmental health at Harvard University and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. She was one of a group of experts consulted in a new series in the New York Times on noise pollution. Charlie, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Before we dig into some of the studies that you've worked on, can you talk a little bit about the potential long-term health impacts of noise pollution? I think we might be annoyed by noise. We might worry about our hearing in particular. What kind of things do we know so far about how it can help affect our health in the long run?
Yeah, absolutely. So long-term traffic noise is my focus of research, and that has been associated with cardiovascular disease outcomes, and they can be acute events like having a heart attack or a stroke, or they can be more long-term kind of coronary heart disease and diagnoses associated with cardiovascular diseases, atherosclerosis. So that's when your arteries get kind of hardened, and that's all been linked to noise. But a lot of that research has come from Europe rather than from the U.S.
Why haven't we studied this as much in the U.S.? I'm certainly we have as many noisy environments as Europe does, I imagine.
Oh, we definitely do have noisy environments here. I would say the reason that we haven't studied this so much in the U.S. is mainly just because of the noise estimates. So when we want to look at something like cardiovascular disease, or we want to look at cancer, or we want to look at one of those diseases where it takes kind of a long time to accumulate that chronic, you know, cumulative exposure that might harm our health over time, then what we need to do when we're thinking about exposure is not just look at like, what were we exposed to today or yesterday or last week? We need to look, you know, 20 or 30 years in the past. And that takes a very concerted modeling effort. So usually if it's kind of policy focused in terms of let's reduce noise, now, in neighborhoods, the government is going to really be focused on what the noise is right now and has been quite recently and how to get that down. Whereas when we're doing epidemiological studies, so when we want to study the occurrence of disease, we need to go much further back in time and have a historical exposure model. So we want to go back 20, 30 years. And we have produced those in Europe. And then we've looked at that with cardiovascular disease in certain study designs, which allow us to really try and tease out if there is an association that's meaningful and potentially causal, or if it's, you know, just noise and it's associated with something else in the environment like air pollution. But what we have for the first time currently in the US is a model that is quite good and historic, and we've looked at it with a cohort that's long run in since the 80s. So that was why I was invited to talk with the New York Times and tell them about that research, which is not peer reviewed yet, I will say, but our initial findings are that we do see an association of noise, anthropogenic noise specifically, with cardiovascular outcomes in our cohort study.
I wanted to ask you about this research because it would seem to me like studying the long-term health impacts of noise would be particularly hard to do. Can you talk about how you used long-term data, what group you were looking at, how this study came together?
Yeah, absolutely. So this was a study in the long-running nurses' health study. And the nurses' health study is a cohort of nurses who initially responded with a questionnaire, just kind of their demographics and what their current health status was in 1976. And then the cohort followed these women over time. Every 2 years, they returned a questionnaire, and it had a lot of different questions eventually on all of these questionnaires. And they would say, you know, what they were eating. They said where they lived. They said what, you know, health outcomes they've had in the last couple of years since we last spoke to them. And we were able then to look at their noise exposure since 1988, and look over time if noise was associated with their cardiovascular outcomes. And you might be thinking, okay, but noise is, you know, linked to lots of these other things in the environment. So in this kind of study, we want to account for all of the information they're giving us that might be relevant to their cardiovascular health. So do they exercise? Do they eat well? Do they, you know, take general good care of their health and go for their checkups? Or, you know, what hormone replacement therapy are they on? Various things that we think, okay, maybe that could be, you know, linked to the outcome, or it could be linked to both the exposure, so the noise exposure and the outcome, for instance, air pollution. So if traffic creates air pollution and noise at the same time, then we need really good models to kind of tease out, is it the air pollution or is it the noise? And we make sure that we try to account for all of that when we're modeling noise and cardiovascular disease. And if we still see an association after we've accounted for all of those other things, then we say, okay, this is probably something real. And it does correspond very well to what's been shown in Europe, where we have kind of a little bit better noise models developed there. In terms of what I'm saying by good modeling is we want the noise specifically at your residential address, like right outside your front door or your back door. We want to know what kind of noise you're really kind of experiencing, maybe at nighttime and in the daytime. And to do that, we kind of model very fine scale. And the models in the US are good, but they were created initially for a different purpose. So they were created by the National Park Service because there is an ordinance that national parks cannot be too noisy. And then they were like, okay, well, we have this kind of procedure set up to measure noise. Why don't we extend this to urban areas so that we can get a full coverage of the contiguous US and see what the noise levels are, or predict the noise levels as well as we can in those areas? So they extended that out, and that's what we currently have in the US. It's not quite as good as what's available in Europe, but I think that's what's taken us a little bit of time to get going on the research in the US on noise. But we are working towards better modeling, and we probably will see more studies coming out with cardiovascular disease and other outcomes, also, you know, sleep and other things like that.
We're talking about the health impacts of noise pollution with Charlie Roscoe, researcher at Harvard University and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you live in a noisy environment or work in a noisy environment? What is it? Does it keep you awake at night? How does it make you feel, apart from maybe annoyed? What questions do you have about the connections between noise pollution and our long-term well-being? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Charlie, what are the thoughts on why, you know, being exposed to noise pollution at a chronic level could lead to these other effects? Is it sleep? Is it stress? What's going on?
Yeah, there are lots of different theories, and there are kind of animal models and more short-term models on kind of exposing humans and seeing what happens in their body when they're exposed to noise. And the most commonly cited mechanism is kind of, even if you're not consciously aware of noise, so, you know, even if you do sleep through noise in the night because you're used to it because it's outside your bedroom window every single night, then like actually your body might still be reacting even without a conscious reaction. So basically we fire off kind of a stress response in our body to noise, even if we don't feel actually stressed, you know, we don't perceive the stress. And then this kind of firing can over time produce glucocorticoids and other things that lead to insulin resistance and metabolic problems. And then on top of that, we also have the kind of conscious, you know, element of noise is annoying for a lot of us. That might raise our stress levels. It might interrupt our sleep. Sleep is essential for many bodily processes. Sleep is linked to inflammation. Sleep is also linked to how much physical activity you do the next day. So it's kind of this vicious cycle of if we're exposed to a lot of noise, maybe consciously, we're frustrated. We're also like not doing the things that are best for our body because we're feeling a bit exhausted by this. And then on top of that, we have this non-conscious kind of mechanism happening as well in the background.
Talking to Charlie Roscoe, a postdoctoral fellow researching environmental health at Harvard University and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, looking at research on the health impacts of noise pollution. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a noise in your neighborhood that consistently annoys you, bothers you, maybe even keeps you up at night? Join in at 800-642-1234 to share your story of encounters with noise pollution. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation on the health effects of living around noise pollution. Our guest is Charlie Roscoe, postdoctoral fellow researching environmental health at Harvard University and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you or have you lived with noise pollution? Do you have health issues, do you think, from noise exposure? Tell us about it. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Kim is with us in Madison. Kim, hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for the show. I live under the flight path, and the commercial jets are loud enough. I mean, they're horrible. And now the F-35s are, you know, unbelievably loud. And I wear a Fitbit, and I notice that many commercial flights, the F-35s are in a class of their own, but many commercial flights have this loud, like, whining noise as they're landing. And on my Fitbit, my heart rate goes way up and stays up for a couple of hours, and this assault goes on. So I was really interested to see the New York Times article last week. And what I'm wondering is, you know, I retired, so I notice it even more now. And, you know, is your guest aware of, like, class action lawsuits? We have great politicians in a lot of ways, but Tammy Baldwin, Joe Parisi, Satya, you know, what's her name? None of them seem to give a hoot. And my property taxes sure haven't gone down.
Kim, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. Now, Charlie, the legal side of things, I know you're probably not an expert on, but is there research onto a source of noise like jets, commercial and military jets in a neighborhood?
Absolutely. And we want to make sure that we're providing that research that really is providing information so that policymakers can make the right decisions. And there is a lot more focus on air pollution than there is on noise. And we know a lot of people are affected by noise. That's super interesting with the kind of Fitbit and being able to see the heart rate variability. I found that fascinating. And we also do have studies where we use Fitbits, mainly focusing on sleep and physical activity. But it would be really interesting to see the noise and like how that heart rate variability changes. That actually would be a fantastic study. But yeah, in terms of policy, again, like I said, Europe has more studies, and kind of the WHO in the Europe part of the WHO has a lot of publications, if you're interested, on specific limits that we should set for noise, for traffic, for rail, and for aircraft. And aircraft, especially during the night, is something that they focus on. There have been studies on aircraft and cardiovascular outcomes and hypertension in the Nurses Health Study by one of my colleagues and co-authors. So you could take a look at that as well. But definitely, this is an area where I think we need more evidence. And even the evidence that we already have, we don't have any reason to really believe that, you know, noise from an aircraft affects someone in one continent differently than it affects someone in another continent. So we really can start pushing at least our local politicians and our state politicians to kind of think about making some kind of action to reduce noise. And in terms of, you know, trying to get noise exposure down for ourselves, maybe wearing earplugs, or, you know, I wear earplugs. I live near a very busy road, and it's not ideal, you know, but if it takes a while for policy to catch up, then we can do whatever we can for our own health.
Thanks for the call, Kim. Karen joins us now in Reidsville. Karen, hi.
Hi. I'm wondering about local machines. My neighbors have these huge tractor lawn mowers, and everybody mows at different times of the day. And some of these mowers are so obnoxious that it feels like the air is vibrating. And on occasion, usually about once a week, I have to actually leave my house to go someplace quiet.
Karen, thanks for the call. Charlie does, you know, a good solid lawnmower that a neighbor has rise to the level that it could have health impacts with repeated exposure?
Sure. I honestly don't know too much about lawnmowers specifically, but I've definitely read something in the New York Times about leaf blowers and the kind of pollution from those, but also the noise pollution, the air pollution mixed together. So yeah, I do think any kind of noise, usually there's ordinances in place, at least for like nighttime in terms of your neighbor being noisy. So I would definitely look into that and see if there is anything in your area that you can kind of call somebody. But that does sound, there's no reason to think that high levels of noise from any source that's kind of an annoyance to you isn't going to affect your health in some way if it's really repeated and over time. And that sounds really incredibly annoying.
Karen, thanks for the call. Ellen is with us now in La Crosse. Ellen, hello.
Hi. Yes, I used to live on a very busy four-way stop in La Crosse, and actually the large trucks downshifting to stop at the stop sign was something that would wake me up all the time overnight. And it was a priority for me when I moved that I actually moved to a quiet neighborhood and not a very busy street. And I was so surprised how much more peaceful it is. And I think I took it for granted. I didn't realize how much I was suffering from that. But then I just had a question about where larger affordable housing is being built, maybe subsidized housing. You know, are they looking at these units being built next to really large and busy highways? Is that more cost effective? And like, is noise pollution going to affect lower income folks more because these large complexes are maybe being built in not very peaceful spots?
Ellen, thanks a lot for the call. Charlie, I know the socioeconomic differences a point of interest for you. Can you talk a little bit about how low-income people might be more vulnerable to noisy environments?
Absolutely. And I just want to say I also live on a very busy four-way intersection, and it is incredibly loud and disruptive. And whenever I like leave the state and go and stay somewhere else that's quieter, I have better sleep and I feel so much better and well-rested and able to do my work properly the next day. So I completely, on an anecdotal level, feel you there. In terms of the low SES, low socioeconomic status housing, I really feel that even if you like look at Zillow, there's kind of walk scores, and more recently there's kind of, maybe it's on Redfin, but there's like noise scores now, and it is something that we humans really, really do seek out peace and quiet for our home. And that is not available to everybody. It costs us money to have that. It really costs us money in terms of rent or in terms of house prices to live in an area that's quieter. And with the low socioeconomic status housing, if that is built on busy highways, you know, with bad air pollution and noise and not much green space to kind of get out and about and enjoy nature, and all of these things kind of, you can imagine, cumulatively can really add on to the already, you know, the socioeconomic burden that these people are enduring. And then on top of that, you have all these kind of environmental assaults. And, you know, you can imagine that there's some interaction there.
Thanks a lot for the call, Ellen, and the question. Charlie, in our last minute or so, what kind of research are you hoping to see, especially here in the United States, to catch up with European research? What do we need to be looking at here?
Yeah, I personally would like to work on producing better noise estimates. Those noise estimates were great for the purpose that they were made. And I would really, really like to, you know, get those really, really accurate at least as accurate as the air pollution exposure that we have for the US, which is very good. And then we can really kind of tease out what is from noise, traffic noise, and what is air pollution, what's affecting health, what do we need to modify, what do those policymakers really need to do to give us healthy environments to thrive in.
Charlie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Charlie Roscoe, postdoctoral fellow researching environmental health at Harvard University and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. We've been talking about the health impacts of noise pollution. You can keep sharing your experiences with noise in your neighborhood or maybe your workplace. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page and tell us about it. And are there changes you'd like to see in your community when it comes to noise regulation, when it comes to how laws are enforced, if they exist in the first place? Let us know. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can email ideas@wpr.org.